you want. Just got home from work, and your wife's almost finished preparing one of her typically delicious dinners. Your kids, the boys and girls, age 15, 13, and 9, been out all day riding their bikes around the neighborhood playing with friends. Now everybody's hungry, ready to sit down for the family meal. Last night was game night, and you barely emerged from the victory in Monopoly. Tonight is TV night, and everybody's ready to enjoy Ozzy and Harry and Leave It to Beaver. Of course, a live in-person show is incredible. Who could forget your family outing 2 weeks ago and you all drove into Manhattan and saw Ivor Lady on Broadway? But TV has its own unique appeal, especially with shows like Lassie and Andy Griffin and Walt Disney's Wonderful World of Color and Father Knows Best and the Flintstones. And they're all on at night so the whole family can enjoy them together. Well, on this lovely spring night, you're a bit more tired than you realize. Find this near way through the current Beaver episode, even though it's a bit more suspenseful than normal. This night, you toss off just before the end of the program, and when you wake up a few minutes later, everything's changed. The TV's still there, except it's giant and flat, hanging on a wall, exploding with colors. Instead of a smiling Cleaver family, it's... No, this can't be real. A new couple going on their first date. What's happening? In a panic, you look for another channel, quickly figuring out how to use the newfangled remote control you have holding your hands with. Something else is different when you look around the room. You're the only one there. Your 15-year-old son is out with his best friend, Robbie. He used to be called Robin back when he was a girl, along with Robbie's 17-year-old brother. They went to see a new movie in the Hostel series where people are tortured to death and mutilated for fun, but hey, at least he's out of the house. Better than playing Grand Theft Auto for 6 straight hours where your boy's raping women and killing cops in his video screen. As for your wife, she's at the psychologist's office with your 13-year-old daughter discussing whether they need to up her antidepressant medication. She's still cutting herself. She's been doing that for the last year, ever since her best friend at school killed herself after the sexting scandal. As for your youngest girl, still so innocent at 9 years old, she's shut up in her room with her headphones on, dancing to Beyonce's latest hit. She sure is a smooth dancer for such a little kid. That's probably a good thing that she's too young to know what the bumping and grinding is all about. But all's well, since she's just down the hallway, safe in her room. The neighborhood just hasn't been the same since two kids were abducted within 12 months, only for their abused bodies to turn up in the woods weeks later. The police still haven't found the sexual predator responsible for these inhuman acts. Then, suddenly you wake up with a start. This was all a dream. With relief, you look around your wonderful family smiling at their dad who fell asleep in the middle of TV night. And you think to yourself, thank God, this was only a bad dream. There's no way America or my family could ever look like that.
Well, I got a little extra reading time in last week. And I really believe that the Lord was showing me, continuing to show me, some message that I really think we need to be talking about. And this particular time, we were, of course, last time we talked, last time I was here, I know it's been 2 weeks. 2 weeks, but we talked about a book called The Last Arrow by Erwin McManus. Mm-hmm. And what was that about?
Don't give up.
Yeah. Don't give up.
Keep hitting the stone.
Keep whacking.
Yeah.
Keep whacking. Anyway, here's the plan for today, because I realized that that was maybe the first part of the message, was to keep whacking. That was a clip from Dr. Michael Brown. Has anyone heard of Dr. Michael Brown? He does have a radio talk show, and he just came out with a new book called Saving a Sick America: A Prescription for Moral and Cultural Transformation. Because here's the thing, we ourselves need to be whack-worthy, okay? We need to be ready to whack. All right, so that's what we're talking to today. Yeah, I mean, we really talked about last time, we talked about the what, the whacking, right? But I think we need to talk now about the how and the why. The how and the why. So. Let me change the screen. Okay, the verse for today we're really going to focus is on one you've heard many times, Romans
6:23.
Oh, am I on the right page? Da-da-da, yes, yes, yes. Michael, do you want to read that? Are you able to? Are you able to read? No, too far away. Are you able to read that?
I'll read it.
6:23.
For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen, amen. Romans, great book of what we're talking about, you know, sort of what we're talking about today. Because really we've been discussing about launching a legacy. We've sort of passed through this legacy series for some time. But I want us to be thinking about, you know, the what and the why. And that's what we're going to focus on. And that's a very well-worn verse to be, you know, significant. It has a new significance in the light of legacy that we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. And it's got that little word in there.
Mm-hmm.
Sin. What's the definition of sin?
Receiving the mark.
He got it right off. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're missing the mark, right? Now you can go through, and I did it, I've been working on this.
It's just like if you're shooting an arrow. If you miss a bullseye, you miss it.
There's that arrow thing again. The Lord's working with us.
Exactly.
Missing the mark. And we miss the mark in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, and you know, we've heard the verses where there's more of like lists of things that go wrong. And I mean, we really saw from this little video, very powerful, because mm-hmm. you can see some really alarming trends. Mm-hmm. And I wish we had time to go through the whole book, and it is fabulous. And it talks about different sins and different trends and different sins.
Mm-hmm.
But really, with the time that we have, which is limited, I wanted to come at it a different way. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I want to talk now about sin, but I want to talk about the cost. And this is good, because a wage, what's a wage?
It's a payment for what you get in return for the effort that you made in through work.
Right. It's what you get for your efforts. Okay, so in that, in terms of, and again, focusing in on the legacy portion.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to, and this book, and I've been doing like a beloved does now, he reads with his ears a lot. He's always reading. I always have to go, beloved, before I, because he's reading. And he's got these, oh God. And I never, he just can't just start talking because he's reading. More often than not, until he'll quick reach up to his ear, and I'm like, well, now he's listening. And I was doing that, reading a book. I've had a lot of time, you know, these last two Sundays, to read books that otherwise, I'm not such an avid reader, as beloved. I admit it. But the Lord is still yet blessed and redirected me. So then he's showing me this very specific thing that This is what I'm gonna, I knew it would be hard to see. So I put another one in. This particular chart comes out of this book. And it's the chart, maybe you can sort of read what the headline says. It's, will your grandchildren be Jewish? Now Dr. Michael Brown, a little bit about him, if you've never heard of him. He's a Messianic Jew. Does anyone know what that means?
And they accepted Jesus as their Savior.
That's right. He is Jewish by birth, but he's Christian because he's accepted Jesus as his Savior. He doesn't cease to become Jewish. He remains Jewish, and he's Messianic. He believes in Christ. Now, Jews, who are not Messianic,
if I remember right,
they're still waiting.
And also follow
the law.
The laws.
They follow the laws.
The days, you know.
In other words, that whole thing just sort of passed them by.
They're probably considered Orthodox Jews.
And there's Orthodox Jews now. But here's the fascinating thing. Speaking of Orthodox Jews, I mean, you can sort of see that. And I tried to make it as big as I could. The cool thing about this particular chart is it's talking about, see that there are four columns. There's four columns. Okay, so if you start out, oh, and thankfully, I actually put one in my nose so I could read it. It has five different, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Starting at the left, those are secular Jews. What's a secular Jew? You say someone's a secular Jew or a secular Christian.
One that lived in the world, I guess.
They're sort of worldly, right? They might in name only. In name only. So they're following this through, and as you look, you can sort of just see those are little peoples. Those are peoples.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you start out with the first generation. And then you go to the second generation. And then you go to the third and fourth. And then if you go over to the right, on the far right, they have a column. And the heading is Hasidic Yeshiva Orthodox. Does anyone know what a Hasidic Jew is? You may have seen Hasidic Jews. They are here. They're here. They're very Orthodox. Okay, they're the ones that you see with, and I don't know enough about, that have the hair, the curl, the hair. I mean, they're...
The sideburns longer than...
The sideburns, and I don't know what those are called. They're very, very Orthodox. Okay, so they follow very closely the laws that are in the Old Testament. Because the New Testament passed them by. They're Jews. They're not this Messiah. They still believe that, you know, their Savior's coming.
Mm-hmm.
He's fixing to come. Little do they know, he's already been here. But, I mean, the whole thing with... Jesus is not supposed to come until every last person, every last Jew comes to Jesus. That's mm-hmm. going to. God is gracious. He is patient. He is waiting. He's waiting for that last Jew to become Messiah. Okay, I'm digressing. Now what you see in this, and now down you see up at the top, right, and then down at the bottom, that bottom row, you sort of can see on the far left, there's like one. There's one peep there. But on the far right, what do you see?
You can't count them.
You can't count them. That is the representation of over time, what happens to people with different levels of belief or commitment to their belief. This I find fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. And I could talk until I'm blue about sin. I want us to see visually. I know it's visually impaired, but I think just describing it, what we're looking at. And there's the first, John 10:10. Who knows John 10:10? Pretty pivotal verse. I'm sure you've heard it a million times.
Says the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am that they might have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen. That's good. John 10:10. If you just know a handful of verses, that's one to start with. Because here's the deal. Here's the deal with sin. The deal with sin. Thank you, Linda. We were waiting for this all our whole lives. But I think that this is an outlook that we can appreciate. Because when, I'm sure pastor and pastor, when you start talking about that little word, more likely than not, you might lose people. That's a tough thing to be preaching on, or to be preaching on sin. But you can see just from that video, I mean, and the thing I love about that little clip is just in a lifetime, oh my God, I remember having a TV like that growing up. And I remember turning on the TV and watching. I mean, come on, I'm that old. But turn on the TV now, oh my God, in one generation, how rampant is this very, very disturbing behavior that, you know, call it this, call it that. It's sin. It falls under that category.
I know. I like watching all the westerns, but you see a lot of violence and killing in there.
Yeah, I mean, it's still those are very common as well. And the thing we tend to do, and I know, and I do it myself, we all do it. Don't get in my face about sin. It's my sin. It's my sin. It's not hurting anyone. Have we all heard that? I've sinned. It's my sin. It's not hurting anyone. And I want to just see visually. Here's the wages. Here's the wages. So what? Okay, so basically what it comes down to is no more blank. Fill in the blank. Okay, this week, what has been happening out in California?
Fire
in wine country. And burn up the vineyards. Not only burn it up, there's nothing left.
Right.
I've never seen anything like it.
Some people walking out of there with just clothes on their back.
Ashes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. One community, all that was left were fireplaces.
Mm-hmm.
Only the fireplaces built to withstand fire. And even they were crumbling. Okay, well, gee, that's too bad. Those people in Santa Rosa, that's too bad. Doesn't affect me. I still got a house.
Okay, we'll buy and wait a week and you'll try to go buy a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
It'll probably be
$500. I'm going to go way up in price now.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very, very good friend that lives not far from there. But I'm sure it's affected. I mean, and there was one picture of like the sky is red. It looks like hell.
It affects the atmosphere months and years.
It affects everything around it. That's the visual of sin. I didn't put it in here.
I remember about 10 years ago, we had fires all the way up in Oklahoma that we were smelling down here in the Dallas area. And then we were 100 miles away.
I remember that.
Yeah.
The ones in Mexico. You could smell it. You could smell it. You could see it.
Mm-hmm.
You see and this is where I'm trying to make that connection with sin. Might be taking too much poetic license, but it's just, the Lord's putting all this in front of my face.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no big deal. Santa Rosa, oh, I don't drink wine, who cares? No more America.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that come a little closer to home?
Yeah.
If we all don't get back to where we need to be, is the Lord going to continue to bless the United States of America, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
And I've never done a lot of study on this. If you read the book of Revelation, which is talking about the end times, where's America?
It's not mentioned.
It's not there. Where did it go? It disappeared.
It's not mentioned as an organized country. It may have scattered.
It may have disappeared.
Yeah.
We think, was there a war? certainly there would have been, if there was a war, we would have heard about the war. We could have prevented it. The wages of sin is death. Death doesn't mean you're being destroyed. Doesn't mean there's an atomic bomb. It means you just disappear. Mm-hmm. And oh, I had the saddest thought when I was working on this. Because when you're working, Pastor will tell you this. You're praying. You're praying, Lord, tell me what I need to be saying. Because if it's not from you, it is, we're all just wasting our time. We should just bake a cake, you know. But what do you want me to be saying? Now, some of you old timers, remember the Beatles, right?
Beatles,
yeah. Do you remember the song, Eleanor Rigby?
Mm-hmm.
This just came to my head while I was working on this. Who can sing from Eleanor Rigby?
All I remember is the phrase, she keeps her face by the door in a jar.
She keeps her face in a jar by the door.
Mm-hmm.
Who is it for? Who is it
for?
All the lonely people. But the next line, this is the one, peeps. Pierced me right through the heart. She's talking about Eleanor Rigby. Died in the church. And was buried along with her name.
But nobody,
nobody came. Father McKenzie, wiping the dirt from his hands as he walks from the grave. No one was saved.
Mm-mm.
Oh my God. People, I just want, maybe I get a little dramatic on this. The saddest thought I've had in such a long time. No more Bartimaeus. Does that break your heart? It should.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, it's not going to happen today. It might not happen tomorrow. It might not happen in a year. But if we all don't get a hold, it goes away.
Mm-hmm.
No peeps. No BBT. No BBT, no legacy. No legacy, no future. We can't let that happen.
No.
We cannot. We cannot. We cannot let that happen. So here, let's end up on an up note, an up note. Please get us out of here, Linda. Yes, I feel like I'm waking up. You know what I want to get back to? I want to get back. Dr. Michael Brown's Essential Actions. He's got three of them. Number one, we need a revival. We need a revival. I'm sorry, but your title is so small. We must give ourselves to focused, fervent, passionate prayer for revival in the church and for awakening in society. In society. Well, we are society. It has to start with us. It has to start with us. And we need to continue to evangelize. I know we've talked about it. We started for a while. But I myself have really not evangelized. Lenny, who is the last person to have led someone to the Lord? It's been a long time for me, I admit it. But Stephanie, praise God, Stephanie, our little Stephanie, if you had not heard, she went to work for Meet Him. I am so proud of her. She's still in school, but she went to work for Meet Him. We had Drew Dickens here. What does Meet Him do?
It encourages people and leads.
It helps lead people to the Lord on the phone or on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can start doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe we don't go door to door, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we can certainly evangelize because that's why we're here. That's why we're here. We must give ourselves to the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Here in the U.S., winning the lost and making disciples. We need to get back there. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why he sent us Stephanie. Last but not least, there is just no compromise. We have to live out our faith without excuse, without compromise, without hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. And whatever's holding us back, we just need to let that go. And I just really feel so strongly about this, and I know that Pastor Leary has a message sort of carrying on with this. Yeah, you were sort of tying into that. Because I just feel so strongly that the Lord has so blessed this particular organization for so long that I just can't even imagine a world without it. But if that's to be, then we need to make changes. We need to make changes personally. We need to make changes congregationally. Mm-hmm. But we need to get back to where we need to be. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm.
So Heavenly Father, we do praise you and thank you for the revelation of what we need to be doing. And thank you for the not-so-gentle reminder that you've given to me to share. Because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But every single one of us, me included, me at the front of the line, need to do things differently going forward. If we are to continue and to be what you've called and created us to be, a powerful force for you in this world, and not to give up and not to just say, you know, we have great things coming, but we have a job here in this earthly plane. And we just pray for the wisdom, Lord, and the courage and the strength to continue to pursue that individually and collectively as well. And we do this, Lord, for your glory in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.